25 May 1893 Statement of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib. Deputy Abdullah Atam had expressed some reservations about the use of the word Kamal, excellence. To some extent, I have already replied to this briefly. However, Deputy Abdullah Atam Sahib also added the sentence that excellence should be in providing salvation and that the Savior is the Messiah. And in support of this, Deputy Sahib has presented many prophecies from the Bible and also from letters to the Hebrews, etc., but I write sadly that this headache was undertaken for no benefit. I had already stipulated that if any person from the two parties wishes to state anything about his revealed book, then the following rule must be adopted. If that statement is by way of a claim, then that claim also should be presented by the book itself. And if that statement is by way of a reasoned argument, then it should be the case that the book itself should present that logical argument. It should not be the case that the revealed book should be utterly helpless in this respect, and taking pity on the book, it should be provided assistance. Deputy Sahib should note attentively that when I presented arguments refuting the divinity of the Messiah, I did not present anything from myself. I presented those logical arguments that the Holy Quran has presented itself. But I wish to inquire from Deputy Sahib what, by way of logical arguments, has he presented in accord with the stipulated conditions. If Deputy Sahib states that I have indeed presented such a large trove of prophecies, what more could have been presented than this? So, in answer to this, I would have to say with a heart full of sadness that those prophecies are not from the realm of logical arguments. They remain yet mere claims and are themselves in need of proofs, let alone talk of them providing support to something else. And I have already stipulated that logical arguments should be presented. Besides, the Messiah negates attesting to the veracity of all that was presented. Although I did present proof of this, to some extent, in yesterday's statement, I will write some more for the sake of an increase in understanding of the audience. The Messiah states very clearly in John chapter 10, verses 30 to 37, that there is no distinction or peculiarity in me and other saintly and holy people. Insofar as the applicability of the words Son of Allah or God that has been frequently applied in the Bible for prophets and the like. This matter needs to be pondered upon for a while, that when the Jews heard the Messiah declaring himself to be the Son of God, they accused him of blasphemy and labeled him a blasphemer, and for this crime they desired to stone him, and they became very angry. Now, it is evident that upon such an occasion, the Messiah was regarded in the eyes of the Jews to be a blasphemer for having called himself the Son of Allah, and the Jews wanted to stone him. So when the moment to prove his innocence or establish his claim presented itself, what was the duty of the Messiah? Every wise person can understand that in this situation, when he had been declared a blasphemer and had been attacked, and people had decided to stone him, the Messiah had to choose one of two things. First, if the Messiah was in reality truly the Son of God, then he should have replied to them saying, "This my claim is indeed true, and I am truly the Son of God. And to prove this claim, I have two proofs. Firstly, in your books it is written regarding me that the Messiah is the Son of God. Nay, in fact, he is God himself, the omnipotent, the knower of the unseen, and he does what he wills. And if you have any doubt, then bring forth your books. I will show you proof of my being God from these books." This is your misunderstanding and lack of attention to your own scriptures that you accuse me of being a blasphemer. Your very own books themselves make me God and say that I am omnipotent. Then how can I be a blasphemer? In fact, what is required very much is that you should now begin to worship and idolize me because I am God. Then, the second proof he should have given should have been to say that, Come and see the signs of God in me. And just as God Almighty has made the sun, the moon, the planets, and the earth, etc., a portion of the earth, or some star, or some other such thing has also been created by me. And I can even now demonstrate such power of creation, and that I possess far greater power and strength than manifested in the ordinary miracles of the prophets. And it would have been appropriate for him to present to them a detailed list highlighting that he had done this and this godly thing up till today. Has any prophet, from Moses to any other later prophet, ever done any such things similar to this? Had he presented such proofs, the Jews would have been silenced, and all the Pharisees and scribes would have immediately fallen in prostration before him, saying, "Yes, O Lord, you are indeed God. We had forgotten. You have, in comparison to the sun, which is there since eternity, shining and making the day bright, and in comparison to the moon, which rises in the night with its beautiful light and brightens the night, created a sun and a moon yourself, and shown to us. And you have also presented proofs of your claim to divinity from our accepted and recognized books. How can we now dare not to call you our God?" Where God has manifested his refulgence with his powers, what can a humble man do? But the Messiah did not present anything from these two proofs, and what he did present are these sentences that he advanced, "Do listen." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest,' because I said, 'I am the Son of God'?" Now, the fair-minded people should ponder if, in order to have the allegation of blasphemy removed, and to establish the truth of his being the actual Son of God, this was indeed the answer to say that, "If I call myself the Son, what harm is there in that, since your holy people have also been called gods?" Deputy Abdullah Atam seems to suggest here as if the Messiah became afraid, terrified by the riot, and concealed the true answer, adopting taqiyya, concealing one's faith out of fear. "But I proclaim, can this be the act of prophets who remain ever committed to sacrifice their lives in the way of Allah, the Lord of glory?" In the noble Quran, Allah, the Lord of glory, states, "Alladhina yuballighuna risalatillahi wa yakhshawnahu wa la yakhshawna ahadan illa Allah." Meaning that the true messengers of Allah Almighty who deliver his messages fear no one in the task of delivering the message. So how could it be that the Messiah, claiming to be the all-powerful, became intimidated by the weak Jews? Now, it is manifestly clear from this that the Messiah, peace be upon him, never claimed to be the actual Son of God or God. Instead, he declared that he was like all the others, who have been called sons of God, and that his claim is just like their claim. So this being the case, how can the prophecies that Deputy Abdullah Atam has presented be accepted to be correct in accordance with the stipulated conditions? It should not be the case that muddai sust or gawah chust, while a witness shows great enthusiasm, the plaintiff remains silent. To save himself from the accusations of blasphemy, the Messiah presents only this excuse, that the word Son has been spoken concerning me in the very same way that it was spoken concerning your elders. In other words, he was trying to say that he would have been blameworthy and guilty of blasphemy if he had claimed to be the Son of God distinctively. Your books are filled with references to people being called the sons of God and God. Go and take a look. Then the Messiah did not stop there. Nay, rather, he has admitted his many human weaknesses at various places throughout the Gospels. When he was asked, for example, about the Day of Judgment, and he declared his lack of knowledge and said that apart from Allah Almighty, nobody knows when the Day of Reckoning will take place. Now, it is evident that knowledge is an attribute of the soul and not of the body. Thus, if he had the soul of Allah Almighty in him, and he was in fact Allah Almighty himself, then what is the reason behind the declaration of lack of knowledge? Can God Almighty become ignorant also after knowing? Then it is written in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto them, that is to say, to the Messiah, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Then it is written in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, that when the mother of the children of Zebedee requested for her sons to sit on the right and left of the Messiah, he replied that this was not within his power. Now, do tell where his omnipotence has gone. Can an omnipotent being ever become helpless? And now that so much contradiction has crept into the attributes that while the disciples regard him to be omnipotent, he himself denies being omnipotent. So what respect and standing are left of these prophecies that when they are presented on behalf of the person, he himself negates them, saying, I am not omnipotent. This is strange indeed. Then in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, it is written, the gist of which is that the Messiah prayed all night fervently and with great grief that the Lord may save him, and begged Allah, the Lord of glory, that, if it be possible, to take this cup away from me. And he had not only prayed himself, but he made his disciples also pray for him. Just as among the ordinary people, when someone is afflicted in some way, they often ask for prayers for themselves in the mosques. But how strange that despite this, the attribute of omnipotence is thrust upon him for no reason at all, and his works are described as being miraculous. Nevertheless, that prayer was still not accepted, and whatever had been decreed took place. Now, consider if he had been omnipotent, then one would expect that this authority and power would have been of some use. First, for his own self. When it proved of no use in his own case, for others to expect something from him is a vain hope. Now, from this statement of ours, all the prophecies that Deputy Abdullah Atam presented have been rebutted. And it is now clearly evident that through his words and through his deeds, the Messiah considered himself just a mere humble human being and never believed he possessed any divine attributes. Yes, he is a prophet of Allah, without any doubt, a true messenger of God Almighty. There is no doubt about this whatsoever. Allah, the Lord of Glory, states in the Noble Quran, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ إِيتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِّنْ عِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَمَنْ أَذَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُو مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ Meaning that do you see the people from whom you consider to be gods beside Allah? What have they created in the earth? Or have they a share in the creation of the heavens? If you have proof of this, or if there is some book in which it is written that such and such a thing was created by your God, then bring that book and present it if you are truthful. In other words, it cannot happen that someone should have himself be called omnipotent and then not show any example of his divine powers or be called the creator, yet fail to manifest any example of his creation. And then he says, and which person is more astray than the person who calls unto such a person as God, who cannot answer him till the day of resurrection, and who is in fact oblivious even of his calling unto him, let alone responding to him? Now, at this point, I would like to present a true testimony that is incumbent upon me, and it is this. I believe in that Allah, the Exalted, who is not omnipotent merely in name. On the contrary, He is, in reality and actuality, omnipotent, and He has, of His grace and benevolence, honored me with His special words, and has informed me, I, the true and perfect God, shall be with you and shall bestow victory on you in every contest pertaining to spiritual blessings and heavenly support. I would now like to say to Deputy Abdullah Atham and all the honorable Christian audience, what need is there now to prolong this discussion by you presenting such prophecies as are contradicted by the actions and deeds of the Messiah himself? There is an easy and straightforward way to settle this issue, that I pray to the living and perfect God for a sign, and you pray to the Messiah. You believe that He is omnipotent, thus if He is omnipotent, you will certainly attain success. And I now swear in the name of Almighty Allah and proclaim that if I am unable to present a competing sign, I shall be prepared to accept every punishment being imposed on myself. Indeed, even if you show any competing sign to me, I shall still be prepared to suffer punishment. It would be good for you to have mercy upon the creatures of Allah. I have also now reached old age, and you yourself have also become old. Our last resort now is the grave. Come, let us settle the issue in this way. The true and perfect God will certainly help the truthful. What more can I now say than this? The rest later. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, Representing Muslims. Signature English, Henry Martin Clark, President, Representing Christians.